Imagine you're trying to sneak into this incredibly exclusive VIP-only nightclub.
Oh, yeah, the kind with the velvet ropes.
Exactly, the heavy velvet ropes. And you've got the perfect outfit, you've practiced the attitude, you look the part entirely.
Right.
But you're trying to walk past these bouncers while wearing like a glowing neon green wristband that just flashes the word imposter every 3 seconds.
They're going to spot you from a mile
A
away.
mile away. And right now, raw AI-generated music is basically wearing that exact neon wristband.
It really is.
The tracks sound, I mean, absolutely incredible to our ears, but the streaming platforms are spotting them instantly. So today's mission is tailored specifically for you, the popular atools.ai audience.
Because getting a slice of this pie is, well, it's harder than just hitting the export button.
Way harder. We are mapping out the exact tested pipeline to successfully get your AI-generated music onto Spotify in 2026.
And, the stakes here are genuinely massive. I mean, the AI music market was already valued at what, $2.9 billion back in 2025?
Yeah, 2.9 billion.
And by 2034, it's projected to skyrocket to 18.6 billion.
18.6 billion. That's insane.
So the financial incentive for you to figure this out is huge. But to really grasp the opportunity, we have to look at the sheer scale of the pushback from the platforms.
Right, because they are not happy about this.
Not at all. Spotify has already purged over 75 million spam tracks in their recent AI crackdown.
75 million. I mean, that's not a routine cleanup. That is a mass extinction event for raw AI uploads.
It's a total purge. And look at Deezer. They are currently receiving about 75,000 AI-generated tracks every single day.
Wow, every day.
Every single day. That translates to roughly 44% of their daily uploads. Almost half of all the new music flowing into their system is generated by artificial intelligence.
So they aren't just casually like listening for weird robotic glitches anymore.
No. They have built industrial-scale detection systems.
Okay, let's unpack this because before we get into how you actually create a track that survives this gauntlet, we really need to understand the barrier itself.
We need to look at the wristband.
Right. The glowing neon wristband. Because if you just go into a tool like Suno, type a prompt, download the audio, and send it straight to Spotify, it gets rejected almost immediately.
Instantly.
So why? What exactly are these platforms seeing that our human ears can't hear?
What's fascinating here is that AI generators, whether it's Suno, Udio, or Boomy, they don't just output sound. They leave behind what are essentially three invisible fingerprints.
Oh, right. I was reading about this, woven directly into the architecture of the audio file, right?
Exactly, directly in the file. The first fingerprint is what we call spectral fingerprints.
Okay.
These are highly specific, highly unnatural frequency patterns in the audio spectrum itself.
Meaning, like, we literally can't hear them.
Right. You and I can't hear them because they often exist in frequency bands we don't naturally focus on, or they're just masked by the loud music itself.
Okay, so it's almost like it's like a printer that secretly prints those tiny invisible yellow dots on every single page just to identify exactly which machine it came from.
That's a perfect analogy. The visual waveform of an AI track has a distinct visual signature that a machine learning model can recognize clear as day.
Got it. Okay, so what's the second fingerprint?
The second is timing anomalies.
Timing. But AI timing is perfect, isn't it?
Well, that's exactly the problem. Human musicians, even the absolute best session players in the world, they have microscopic variations in their timing.
Oh, like playing in the pocket.
Yes. A human drummer slightly lags behind the beat on a snare hit to create a groove. AI music generators calculate rhythms mathematically, so the microrhythms are just too perfectly uniform.
The math is just too clean.
Exactly.
Great.
It lacks human imperfection. And the third fingerprint isn't even in the audio itself.
Wait, where is it then?
It's metadata markers. It's hidden in the data tags, embedded right into the file's underlying code.
No way.
Yeah. These markers explicitly identify the generating tool, the model version, and even the specific generation parameters you used.
So the file is literally confessing in its own code.
Pretty much.
It's showing up at the door saying, "Hi, I was made by an algorithm."
Right. And to give you a sense of how effective these systems are, Deezer uses an ACR cloud-powered detection system. On raw, unaltered output from Suno and Udio,
Yeah.
that system hits 99% accuracy.
99%.
Yep. So the era of just generating a cool song, downloading the MP3, and hoping for the best, that is definitively over.
Which is why we need a bulletproof pipeline. So if that's what the scanners are looking for, how do you actually build a track from the ground up that survives?
You have to start with the right foundation.
Right, which brings us to step one, creating your track in Suno. Now, the absolute first prerequisite, and this is strictly non-negotiable for you listening, you cannot use the free tier.
No, you absolutely cannot.
The free tier simply does not give you commercial distribution rights.
Right. Under the terms of service, Suno owns the tracks generated on the free tier. So if you want to monetize this on Spotify or anywhere else, you need Suno Pro.
Which is what, 10 bucks a month?
$10 a month, yeah. Or Premiere, which is $30 a month. If you don't own the commercial rights, everything else we discussed today is just irrelevant.
And from a technical standpoint, you want to be using Suno's V5.5 model, which dropped in March of 2026.
Oh, V5.5 is incredible.
I remember the older models. You'd get these weird robotic artifacts in the vocals, or it would sound like the entire band was playing inside of like a tin can.
Yeah, the reverb was awful. But this new version is a massive leap forward.
Totally.
It's an entirely different league. Version 5.5 outputs at true 44.1 kilohertz stereo audio.
And why is that specific number important?
Because 44.1 kilohertz is the standard sample rate for CD quality audio. It's exactly what streaming platforms expect as a baseline.
Oh, I see.
Anything lower gets poorly upscaled by the platform's ingestion engine, which degrades the quality and instantly flags it as amateur or, you know, generated.
And the background noise that used to plague AI tracks is virtually eliminated now.
It really is. In fact, the Suno V5.5 recently surpassed its competitors with an ELO benchmark score of 1,293.
Hold on, an ELO score. I thought ELO was a ranking system for, like, chess players.
It is.
How does that apply to audio generation?
It works similarly. Think of it like a massive blind taste test ranking system, but for audio quality.
Oh, okay.
It means that in head-to-head comparisons against other AI models, human listeners consistently voted Suno's tracks as having better audio fidelity, more logical musical structure, and higher vocal realism.
So the technical foundation you're starting with is incredibly solid.
Very solid.
Here's where it gets really interesting, though. If you're the one sitting at the keyboard, how do you actually get that high ELO performance out of the machine?
That's the million-dollar question.
Because if you just type sad pop song, you're going to get a generic, algorithmic-sounding mess.
Yeah, you have to treat the prompt box like you are a session director giving instructions to a live band.
Oh, I love that mindset, an architectural blueprint.
Exactly. Instead of just sad pop song, you need prompts like melancholic indie pop with finger-picked acoustic guitar, soft female vocals, atmospheric reverb, 85 BPM, verse chorus bridge structure.
Wow. So you are explicitly dictating the instrumentation, the tempo, the mood, everything.
Everything. And even then, you shouldn't just take the very first output it hands you.
Right, because the quality still varies wildly between generations. You need to generate like 4 or 5 variations of that exact same prompt.
Exactly. And you are essentially auditioning takes and curating the absolute best performance.
Now, once you have that perfect take, our sources stress a major technical detail for listeners, especially if you're on the Premiere plan. Always export your final choice as a WAV file, not an MP3.
Yes. Crucial step.
Wait, why a WAV file? I mean, I've been saving things as MP3s for 20 years just to save hard drive space.
Well, it all comes down to data preservation. An MP3 is what we call a lossy format. Yeah, to make the file size smaller, it compresses the audio and permanently strips out acoustic data that the algorithm decides human ears don't need to hear.
Oh, I didn't realize it actually deleted data.
It does. But a WAV file is uncompressed and lossless. You want to preserve the absolute highest audio quality for the next steps in the pipeline.
Because every time you process audio, you risk degrading it.
Exactly. Keep all the data intact.
Got it. And there's one more feature in Suno we have to talk about before we move on, because I think it's the secret weapon for a lot of successful creators right now.
The voices feature.
Yes, the voices feature. This allows you to upload your own raw vocal recordings, and the AI will generate the track matching your voice's unique timbre and tone.
It's a total game changer for engagement. It anchors the AI in human reality.
Yeah.
You're injecting actual breathy, imperfect human authenticity into the track. And listeners respond to that emotional resonance.
It grounds the math in something organic.
And frankly, having a real human vocal helps blur the line for the detection systems too.
But here is the reality check. Even if you use your own voice, and even if you export a pristine 44.1 kilohertz WAV file, that file is still carrying those 3 invisible fingerprints we talked about earlier.
It is still wearing the neon wristband.
Exactly. Yeah. So how do we scrub it clean?
This is where the pipeline relies on specialized tools. And the most effective one in 2026 is a software called Undetector.
Undetector.
Why?
It's a $19 one-time purchase. And honestly, without it, your distribution journey basically ends right here.
Okay, let's look at the actual data on this because it's staggering. Raw Suno V5.5 tracks score a 97% on AI detection scanners.
Almost guaranteed rejection.
But when you run that exact same WAV file through Undetector, the detection rate plummets to just 2%,
yep.
97% down to 2%.
It functionally eliminates the spectral and metadata fingerprints.
I have to stop you there, though, because I know exactly what you listening are thinking right now.
What's that?
Wait a minute. If we are intentionally scrubbing the files so Spotify's scanners can't tell it's AI, aren't we basically lying to the platforms?
Yeah. I mean, isn't this just tricking the system to sneak in?
This raises a really important question, and it requires a vital clarification.
Yeah.
Using a tool like Undetector is absolutely not about deception.
Okay.
You still must legally and explicitly disclose that you used AI when you finally upload the track.
So we aren't hiding it from Spotify.
Not at all. The goal here isn't to lie. The goal is to prevent overly aggressive automated scanners from giving you a false positive rejection.
Okay. So it's protecting you from bots that shoot first and ask questions later.
Precisely. Many creators over the last year were doing everything right. They were checking all the proper disclosure boxes, following all the platform rules, and their tracks were still getting flagged, removed, or shadow banned.
Just because of the invisible fingerprints?
Yes. Because the raw technical artifacts in the audio triggered an automated takedown algorithm before a human reviewer ever even looked at the file.
That is so frustrating.
It is. So Undetector reorganizes the file data and smooths out the spectral anomalies without changing the audible sound. It simply ensures that your properly disclosed track actually survives the automated gauntlet.
That makes total sense. It's like properly formatting a PDF resume so the automated HR portal doesn't instantly throw your application in the trash before a real person reads it.
That is exactly what it is. You just upload your WAV file to Undetector, it analyzes and cleans it, and you download the distribution-ready file.
It's a $19 one-time fee that basically acts as an insurance policy.
Exactly. And once you have that clean, processed file sitting on your desktop, you are ready for the packaging phase.
Because you still can't just drag and drop that file onto Spotify's homepage.
No, you need a digital distributor to push the track to the platforms.
Right. We have an undetectable file, but we still need someone with the keys to actually open the door to the streaming ecosystem. And in 2026, if you choose the wrong distributor, you are doomed.
Completely doomed.
Let's look at the three main players. First, you've got CD Baby, their policy. 100% rejection of all AI music. Don't even bother trying.
Zero tolerance.
Then you have TuneCore. They accept it, but they pause AI tracks for a mandatory lengthy manual review.
Which is incredibly frustrating if you were trying to maintain a consistent release schedule for your listeners.
Exactly. So the clear winner, the distributor who actually understands where the industry is going, is DistroKid.
DistroKid is the way to go.
It costs $22.99 a year for unlimited uploads. But hold on. If DistroKid explicitly accepts AI music, why is CD Baby leaving all that money on the table by rejecting it entirely?
It comes down to a vastly different liability and risk calculus. CD Baby is terrified of copyright infringement lawsuits from major labels.
Oh, sure.
They've decided the safest route is just zero tolerance across the board. DistroKid, on the other hand, believes that as long as there's proper disclosure and no direct copyright infringement.
Like cloning a famous voice.
Exactly. Then AI is just another production tool. They treat disclosed AI tracks identically to human-produced tracks.
That makes DistroKid the obvious choice. But before you hand your clean file over to them, your packaging has to be pristine.
Yeah.
Let's talk about metadata mastery.
Oh, this is critical.
The rules here are strict. Do not put the word AI or Suno anywhere in the track title. Do not put it in your artist's name.
Those words act as immediate manual review flags for the streaming platforms.
They'll just freeze your upload.
Right. And it goes without saying, you absolutely cannot use a real existing artist's name. You need to create your own consistent project alias.
And for those of you listening, do not slack on the cover art. You need a high quality 3000 by 3000 pixel image.
Yes.
A lot of creators use image generators like Midjourney to make the art, which is perfectly fine. But Spotify has started aggressively rejecting covers that look like generic, low effort stock photos.
Or anything that contains weird AI text artifacts or watermarks.
Yes.
Take the extra 5 minutes to make it look like a real professional record.
And this brings us to the golden rule of the entire process. When you are filling out that final upload form on DistroKid, there is a specific checkbox asking if your track was created with AI tools.
You must check that box.
Let me reiterate that for you because it's the most important thing we'll say today. Check the box.
Please check the box.
I know the temptation is to hide it. We just spend $19 on Undetector to clean the file, so you might be thinking, why am I volunteering this information?
If we connect this to the bigger picture, the answer is long-term platform survival. Undisclosed AI content that gets caught later down the line doesn't just mean your one track gets removed.
Here, what happens?
It almost always leads to total account suspension. You will lose your entire catalog, and you will forfeit all your pending royalties.
Wow.
Because DistroKid treats disclosed AI tracks the same as human tracks. They go to the same stores, on the same timeline. Disclosure is about compliance, not punishment.
Right. You're telling customs at the airport exactly what's in your suitcase. They say, cool, thanks for declaring it, go right through. But if you lie to customs and they randomly search your bag later, you go to jail.
Exactly.
So check the box. Now the track is submitted. After you hit upload on DistroKid, what actually happens? And more importantly, how does this translate into revenue for you?
The pipeline from DistroKid to Spotify typically takes about 3 to 7 days.
Okay.
During that window, Spotify's automated ingestion systems are scanning the audio and metadata for policy violations. In April of 2026, Spotify launched their new AI credits transparency feature, which requires artists to disclose how AI was used.
So if a track gets rejected during this 3 to 7 day waiting period, why does it happen?
It almost always comes down to three fatal errors.
Let's test my memory. Error number one, you skipped the Undetector step entirely, and that 97% detection rate flagged you instantly.
Correct. Your file is too noisy. Error number two is bad cover art or formatting, like we just discussed.
Right.
And error number three, which is by far the most severe, is unauthorized voice cloning.
Oh, yeah. Never, ever try to clone a famous artist.
Spotify specifically prohibits vocal replicas and impersonation. If you use Suno's built-in synthetic voices, or if you use the Voices feature to upload your own genuine voice, you are perfectly fine.
But if I try to make a fake Drake song...
If you try to prompt a fake Drake or Taylor Swift track, your account will be permanently banned before the track ever goes live.
Okay, so let's say we've followed the rules. We paid for Suno Pro, we scrubbed the file with Undetector, we packaged it with great art, we checked the disclosure box on DistroKid, and we are officially live on Spotify.
Congratulations.
Yeah. So what does this all mean for your wallet? Can you actually make a real living doing this? Let's break down the economics.
We have to be brutally honest about the economics of streaming because it dictates your entire strategy.
Lay it on me.
Spotify currently pays approximately 0.003 to 0.0005 per stream.
Okay, so fractions of a penny.
If you do the math on that, you need roughly 250,000 streams just to make $1,000.
250,000 streams. Let's think about the upfront investment we've talked about today. $30 for Suno Premiere, $19 for Undetector, $23 for DistroKid.
Yep.
You're in for $72 right out of the gate. Getting a quarter of a million streams to make $1,000 is a massive mountain to climb if you're just dropping one single and hoping it magically goes viral on TikTok.
Exactly. And that is why treating AI music like traditional pop stardom is completely the wrong framework.
So what's the right framework?
AI's true advantage isn't creating one viral hit. Its advantage is sheer volume. The creators who are actually making $600 to $1,000 or more a month right now aren't trying to write a smash hit.
They're building catalogs.
Yes. Massive sprawling catalogs. We're talking libraries of 500 plus tracks.
Which is entirely possible with these tools. With Suno Pro, you get enough monthly credits to generate about 500 songs.
And with Premiere.
With Premiere, you can make 2,000 songs a month. I mean, no human musician on earth can write, produce, mix, and master 500 songs in 30 days. It is a completely different business model.
It is an asset building model. You distribute those 500 tracks across Spotify, Apple Music, Amazon Music, Deezer's, everywhere simultaneously through DistroKid.
And what kind of music are they making? Not pop hits, right?
No. The most successful creators focus heavily on high retention niches.
Yes. Lo-fi study beats, ambient sleep music, workout playlists, meditation soundscapes, pure utility music.
Exactly. Utility.
Why? Think about the listener for a second. Someone studying for the bar exam doesn't listen to a 3-minute pop song once and move on.
Right.
They put a 50-song instrumental playlist on repeat for 10 hours of uninterrupted focus. You aren't trying to be the next superstar. You're trying to provide the background score for someone's Tuesday afternoon.
And when you have hundreds of tracks generating just a few dozen streams a day, spread across 10 different streaming platforms,
it adds up fast.
That compound effect is where the realistic, recurring monthly revenue actually materializes. It's an economy of scale.
It's fascinating. Okay, let's quickly recap this bulletproof pipeline for you so you can get started right after this deep dive.
Let's do it.
First, you upgrade to Suno Pro or Premiere to legally own your commercial rights and access that high-fidelity V5.5 model.
Step one.
Second, you export as a WAV file and run it through Undetector, dropping that spectral detection rate from an automatic 97% rejection down to a safe 2%.
Crucial.
Third, you upload through DistroKid, ensuring you use original artwork, and most importantly, you check the AI disclosure box.
Check the box.
And finally, you adopt a volume-based catalog strategy, churning out hundreds of tracks in high-retention niches.
It is an incredibly reliable system for 2026, but you know, this entire pipeline raises a really profound question about where the music industry is ultimately heading.
Oh, for sure.
We know the U.S. Copyright Office is currently demanding sufficient human authorship for work to be legally protected.
Right.
At the same time, creators are increasingly blending their own real voices and structural arrangements with Suno's generative capabilities.
The line between a human song and an AI song is getting incredibly blurry.
Exactly. And here is something for you to ponder as you start building your catalog today.
Okay.
If this arms race between detection algorithms and artifact removal tools continues to escalate, the platforms are going to keep tightening their automated filter.
Oh, definitely.
So how long before purely human-made, hyper-produced pop music starts getting flagged and rejected simply because the drummer's timing is too tight, the vocals are too perfectly pitch-corrected, and the math of the song sounds too perfect to be real?
Wow. When the bouncers get so paranoid about glowing wristbands that they start turning away the actual VIPs just because their outfits look a little too flawless.
Exactly.
That is a wild thought. Well, thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive. Now that you know how to navigate the platforms and build a catalog that actually survives, it is time to get out there, start generating, and put these tools to work. We'll catch you next time.